Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life. All right, welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am Rex Gorman, and I'm sitting here in our state-of-the-art studio with...
Tom McGregor.
Hey, Tom McGregor, how you doing?
I'm, thriving.
Thriving. All right. I like that. We also have a very special guest with us in the podcast booth, corner, table, nook. It's like a nook.
Room.
Yeah, room. We'll take room. Very special guest. Who are you?
Veronica Pearson.
Veronica Pearson. Veronica and her husband, Andrew, have been around Imprint for a while. How long have you guys been here now?
About 9 years. We started when my middle son was in my stomach. And we hadn't been to church for a little while, and we saw the sandwich board on the corner. And we had been church shopping for a couple months, and we tried it out, and we never looked back.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So thank you for putting out the sandwich board.
Yeah, well, that was not me. Yeah. I was not here that long ago, but thank you for whoever it was that put out the sandwich board.
I think it was Steve.
It probably was Steve.
Oh, yeah, Steve. Yeah.
That seems like a Steve kind of thing to do. Yep. We love you, Steve. Well, we are in the middle of a series called The Word of Their Testimony, and the whole idea here, it comes from Revelation 12, where it says we overcome the accuser of the brethren, the evil one, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, not loving our lives unto death. There's a lot of power in our testimonies, in the way, talking about the way that God has worked in our lives. And so we just want to highlight that on the podcast. We've been doing these for a while, and it's awesome, and we kind of want to keep doing it. But that's what we're here to do today. With that in mind, Veronica, tell us a little bit about you. Where did you grow up?
Yeah, my dad was in the Navy, so I
grew up everywhere. Yep. Yeah.
We moved every 3 years on the spot.
Yeah.
Yep. So I lived in Texas, Virginia, California, Oregon, Washington. And actually, me and my husband were born in the same small town in Oregon.
Oh, wow.
But we never knew each other until college in Kirkland. Huh. But we would have gone to the same schools. His grandpa was actually the family doctor for everyone in my family, and we never knew each other for a long time.
What small town?
It's called Newburgh, Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Newburgh, great wine country.
Yeah. So that's our stomping grounds, and that's where we go back to visit people. But we didn't know each other until then. And yeah, we have three kiddos. We have Evan, who's 10, Gavin is 9, and Averick is 5. And yeah, we live in Woodinville, and usually on Sundays I'm either at the 10:45 service, because we don't do early mornings in my house. Even though everyone in our small group goes to the 9 o'clock, I will not do it. I love them, but I can't.
I will say that this is the worship pastor talking. The 9 a.m., they're a more lively bunch.
Really? You think so?
They are way more awake. They are way more involved. They are way
more
into it.
I've gone to both, and it seems like also the 10:45, you get the longer version of the sermon.
That's true. It's the director's cut.
It's like you know that they're not just cutting it. They're going to say everything they have to say, and I like getting all of it.
Yeah, there's that.
Permission to say everything want to say?
Yeah. Okay. And every time I can see the screen in the background that's red, I get really excited. I'm like, yes, now we're getting the extra. I don't remember what else the question was, but we're just around. And on Sundays, I am in the preschool class sometimes every other week. So with 3 to 5 year olds.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's exciting. We just got to bring back like kinetic sand and Play-Doh and shared gooey things. So that's always fun. Glitter. Yeah. It's great.
That's awesome.
Cleanup is a breeze.
Oh, I mean, they're not that picky about it. So
that's
true. Can't complain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your faith background like? Did you grow up familiar with the church or around church?
Yep, I grew up in church my whole life. I can't remember a time when I didn't know that Jesus was my savior. Like, I always knew that. It'd be really cool to have like a cool story, but I also have the story of growing up in church.
That's a pretty cool story.
That's a great story.
Yeah. My parents always, even though we had to switch churches very often with moving, my parents always chose very charismatic churches.
Mm.
And
all the same denomination, or just that was the disposition?
Same, almost always the same denomination, and if not, like very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Like there were sometimes waving of flags, and there's always the lady in the back with her own tambourine that she brought in her purse. And I think that's part of my story, is figuring out where I belong in the church that maybe looks different than how I grew up. I mean, I remember like being on Sunday night, like being pushed over multiple times by like to be slain in the spirit by a preacher, and laying on the floor and looking up and thinking like, okay, so what do I do now? Is this authentically what I feel or think that God is doing in me, or is this just me being an 11-year-old who just got pushed
down? I'm just doing what I'm supposed to, and I got pushed over.
Yeah. So, like, figuring that out through my life and through different stages of it, and like what it looks like at different ages, was definitely part of my story, I guess.
As you look back at like that initial early part, mm-hmm. is it like that was really good, or what was the experience?
Really
for you?
Uncomfortable.
Okay.
But also wanting to look like everyone else looks, right? Like everyone mm-hmm. else is worshiping in this way that looks like that. And so that is what it looks like to be spiritual, or that is what mm-hmm. it looks like to be, air quotes, a good Christian. But also having not like the wisdom or the skill set to...
Yeah, you're 11.
To find out what the Bible really says, or like what I think is appropriate in this group situation. Like then moving on into... like high school and trying to figure out like, okay, everyone else is who seems to be on the good Christian side is it looks like this from the outside. And so like everyone who thinks like that should look like that from the outside or talk like that, or I don't know if that makes sense, but
how did your, like, what was your relationship like with your parents in that like kind of spiritual context?
My dad was gone a lot. He was all like deployed or just working, but they were both really strong Christians. And I remember the only times ever seeing my dad cry or get emotional was at church. And then my mom specifically had just like these rules around things that were really important to her spiritually, like the Bible. But they didn't, like, she would get so upset if you laid anything on top of a Bible. Like if her Bible was sitting on the table and you put the remote on top of it, or like anything of another book, she'd be like, why are you doing that? You're making the other thing more important than the Bible. And I'd be like, oh, okay. But then we would never have deep conversations about the Bible and how that affects our lives, or how that changes us, or what do you think? We obviously learned tons of Bible stories and went to church all the time and knew the stories, but it was like, it was physically more important than like, than we spent time learning about it. So that's been interesting as a mom to like look back and say like, okay, well, I know I'm not trying to bash my parents. They're lovely folks, but how do I want to lead my children? Like, I don't want it to be just something you don't put something on top of. I want to really like be weaved in. And like when the questions come, I don't want to just give an easy answer. I want to be able to
lean in,
talk about it.
Was there a point, I know you said, you mentioned you kind of looked around in high school. Was there a point where you sort of had some of those, I don't know if discontentment's the right word, but sort of the uneasiness crystallize, and you had to like figure something else out, or?
Eventually in college, me and Andrew met at a Bible college around here, and it was kind of the same story. I only went for 1 year because of, who has that kind of money to I'm still paying the piper, but looking around and realizing like, oh, it's still the same thing. It's still kind of the same story of like, man, these people have different groups, and it seems like in order to do it right, it has to look a certain way. You have to have certain talents, or you have to try to have those talents, or be pursuing a certain way of ministering, and if you're not, then you're probably not doing a good job of it. And then finally, we found some, not finally, it was pretty quickly, we found this really close group of friends, and they became our family. And we did everything together. We would vacation together. We all lived next to each other in the married apartments. And it was like the first time I'd really like dove into like having these conversations of reevaluating how I had always grown up in the church, and like sitting late at night talking about like, okay, is this really how we think we want to lead when we are in ministry, or when we're living our lives? And we all go on Sunday mornings to our respective job, because we are all working at different churches, and whether some people were in ministry or teaching or music or tech, or my husband was a youth pastor. And so we'd all go to our respective jobs. And then after church, everyone would come to our house and take a nap on the floor. We'd have like 12 people. We called it Happy Sunday.
That's
and everyone
awesome.
Would just sleep on the floor and take a nap. And then
that sounds great.
Oh,
actually.
Great. And then we'd make food and then sit, and we'd either watch The Walking Dead, or we'd just turn off the TV, and we would just sit there for hours and talk about, what do you think? Like talking about how we're growing up, the churches we're going to now, how we think it should look, and how we want to raise our families one day, and how our marriages should look. And I think that was like the point of, it's definitely not the point of salvation, but it was definitely a point of me evaluating as an adult. How do I really want to let the gospel affect my life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in a thoughtful way.
Yeah. I think there's a point, and this is, I think there's truth in this, so I don't want to say push back too hard, but we a lot of times people talk about like there's this moment of salvation, and people assume, and I think there is a moment of like where it happens. We might not be able to put our finger on it, but I also think that we respond to the amount, we respond to grace as much as we can in the moment that we can. I think I think I have a similar story. I grew up in the church, and remember, you know, getting saved, saying the prayer early and meaning it. And I still think that was the case. But then I had a moment much later in life where like the weight of the grace of God was like fell on me. And I was like, okay. Yeah. Maybe this is what I signed up for. Yeah. So I think that's more common.
Can I rewind the tape a little bit?
Yes.
Was there a, what was the process of moving from, I've always known Jesus is my savior. What was the process of moving to, I know Jesus?
I think it's still happening.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, like, well, so all of those friendships still exist, differently than we all had imagined.
Yeah.
But over the last like 12 years, every single person has deconstructed, and not not in like the healthy way of like, where you're like evaluating your system and putting it through
not renovation.
The gospel and what Jesus says about it. It's, oh man, like even though a lot of these people are serving in churches, like, oh, we actually don't think that Jesus was ever a real person. And we don't think that God even exists. We think it's just however you feel. And every single time that happened to anyone, it was me and Andrew sitting down again at night saying like, okay, we have to talk about this again. What are we doing? Like, what do we really think? What do we really believe? And kind of confirming it again. Like, nope, this is true. Mm-hmm. Jesus is true. He did die for us. And this is how we're going to live our lives and the filter we're going to live through. So I guess it's just always keep being reminded that that is my belief and that is what is true and good and beautiful. Yeah.
That's really hard. What was that? What is it? Well, I know you said you guys have had the heart that I've had to redo those conversations. What has come about as a result of that? Like how have you guys responded in those moments?
I mean, it's been really good for us in our marriage to know we're like on the same page. There was a couple, probably 5 years ago, I got really distracted from that truth. I've always worked in the restaurant industry my whole life since I was 15 and full time, always, even after like 6 weeks after having a baby, going back, like waiting tables, like that or bartending, that's always been what I've done. And there was a time where I couldn't go to church on Sundays because I always had to work brunch. That's like the most popular time in Woodinville is brunch.
It is. Yep. Yeah.
And so I wasn't going to church. I wasn't listening to the sermons online. I don't even know if they were, but instead, I just really got into Christian books, or what I thought were Christian books, and by authors that I had been following since they had first started writing. And I thought, like, oh, this is how I am getting my
this is my spiritual vitamin. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would just listen to Audible, or like at night when I'd be making dinner for my kids, I'd put in my headphones because our house is very loud, and just like listen to these books. And eventually I realized, like, oh, they're not talking about Jesus anymore. They're not talking about gospel anymore. It's talking about self-help, and it's strayed away from the message. And it took me a while. And then finally I heard a friend talking about one of these authors and, you know, saying like, oh, they're not talking about Jesus anymore. They're talking about something else. And I was like, oh, and I had to reevaluate all of this, like, just because something comes from someone who is a Christian or calls himself a Christian or is in a spiritual place doesn't mean that that's what I need to be filling my extra time with. Like, especially when I'm not actually reading my Bible and I'm not actually going to, I mean, my lovely husband brought our kids here every Sunday and I couldn't come for over a year or two. And so, yeah, I don't know, just going, finding a way to get back to, like, one, the Bible is the book. And then when I do find other books, making sure that I'm putting them through that filter and not accepting, like, oh, this person says they're a Christian, so everything they said is good for me and is what I should be absorbing my extra time in.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it makes a lot of sense. My litmus test for if a book is good is, does it make me want to read my Bible?
Mm.
And there are really, like, beautiful, well-written books that, like, are either explicitly or, like you're talking about, not Christian, even if they pretend to be.
Right.
And sometimes when a writer is really good.
Yeah.
And that, in that camp, I want to read my Bible to check it out.
Right, right.
But then also, there's also a lot of really great theologians that you can spend all your time with.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't drive you to scripture, then, like, you know, why read about the Bible when you could get the real thing?
Right. Yeah.
It's helpful to have some guides, but you got to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
What brought you to? Well, actually, that might be skipping ahead. You should edit that out.
Let's rewind a little bit. You guys are at Bible College, and moving on from there, what has your church life looked like since then? What is what have you seen the Lord teach you since leaving Bible College? Since
I mean, the church we were, my husband was on staff at. Gosh, I can't remember the word of it. I want to say disintegrated, but that doesn't sound.
Oh, okay,
like,
yeah.
But that's what happened. We all had to take a vote one Sunday, and it didn't exist anymore the next week.
What was that like?
It was really hard, but it was also good, and I think it needed to happen. And then we had to decide, like, okay, what are we doing? We took a break from church for a while, like a year, I'd say. My husband is probably gonna, I hope he never listens to this, he's gonna be like, you know, you don't remember anything.
like, we're tired and need to rest, or was it like, we don't want to be hurt again, that kind of thing? Or
I think we were burnt out emotionally. Also, we were still trying to decide, honestly, which way we were gonna go. Like, do we want to? It felt like, oh, at the time, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. So, like, what are we doing? Like, is this still important to
us? That was hip for a minute. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, and also we're tired. We were working all the time. It just felt like a grind.
Yeah.
And then we also had, at the same time, very, very little kids. We had our first two were 16 months apart. And so we were just in, like, the midst of, like, oh, babies won't change me. And then you're like, oh, wait, actually changes literally everything. Yeah.
Actually, I'm drowning. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then church shopping with little kids is just a totally different story. Like, it's, you're looking for something different. You're evaluating a church, not through just like, do I want to go here? But it's like, is this a place where I want to raise my family?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Imprint came in to our lives. And it has been so great.
Like, at this point, mm-hmm. like, your friend group, it hasn't deconstructed?
It's still together. It's just different. People were starting to make choices that we didn't agree with, and we had to stand up. I mean, there were definitely times where we had to be like, hey, like, this isn't what we want to be a part of. Marriages started to crumble slowly. People's lifestyle started to take root in things that we had to, you know, there were times where we had to call a meeting and say, like, hey, everyone needs to come over to our house because we need to talk about this. It's not going.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we all kind of started going different ways. Some of our friends, they created their own church that was, to me, not about God. It was about art and appreciating art, which is lovely. And God made us to be artistic people, but it wasn't focused anymore on Jesus. And and now eventually, like, that's all of every single person doesn't believe anymore. And it's hard, but it is also now interesting because as we're hanging out with them now even more to say, like, okay, well, now it's different. We're not just like a witness to people who don't know. We're a witness to people who know so much that they don't believe. It's like they think they know everything, which is great, but like you can walk away.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
No, that does make sense. Well, I think there's a whole lot about this, but I think there was a trend for a minute where it was like, what if we deconstruct the model of church and how we do that? And then from there, I think there's a logical step that's like, what if we deconstruct what we talk about at church just to make it palatable or whatever, or, you know, different things. And then the logical progression there is like, what if we deconstruct what we're asking of people at church, or what we're what we're moving towards, what the goal is?
I don't know if I see the logical connection in the first to 2 and 3.
Okay.
Because I think that a local gathering of human beings will always be a cultural expression.
Totally.
When it is faithful, it's beautiful. When it's unfaithful, it's toxic. But because it's a cultural expression of an eternal thing, then it's going to be culturally bound, and there is warrant to rethink the way we structure things.
Totally.
Pretty frequently.
Yeah.
I don't know if it follows that we have to, like, that faithfulness piece has to get tossed out just because we're, but you're saying maybe it does.
So I'm saying maybe if you start, but I don't mean like, oh, well, we, you know, celebrate these this part of our culture necessarily. What I mean is more, well, hey, like, you know, is the Sunday, like, is the sermon really necessary? Is using the Bible really necessary? Is more what I mean in that. Like, is
it's not like, how long does the sermon need to be faithful?
Yeah.
It's, do we really need to talk about the Word of God? Can't we look at common grace? And when you start moving, okay.
That's more what I mean. I guess I didn't say that well. Yeah. That's more what I mean. Like, let's change the focus of a church gathering, and what's slowly going to happen is, you know, faithfulness will kind of go away. So didn't mean to hijack that.
But, no, that's wonderful to hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
How have those relationships and what I imagine to be painful care for others as you see them making these decisions, how has that impacted your relationships with other people in your spheres of influence, like your work?
I mean, I think it's made it stronger, just seeing how much relationships can change, and also realizing like, oh, I'm sure these people, we just thought we were going to live life together forever, and how really God was calling us to be in relationship with not just these people, even though that made us learn so much at the time. Now it's just wonderful. Like, this weekend I got to go on a girls' trip with 5 women I never thought that I would have gone on with, none of whom are saved. And I got to share with them, and not in a creepy way, but like, we're sitting late at night sitting around the fire outside, and one of them pulls out these like magic paper, and they're like, okay, we're gonna offer stuff to the fire, and we're gonna throw these things in, and whatever you want to give up to the fire. And it's very mystical. And I was like, when it came to be my turn, I was like, okay, this is when I say, hey guys, I'm not gonna over spiritualize the fire. You guys know me, and you know that like I'm a person of faith and I believe in Jesus, and so I'm more than happy to share with you what I want to change in my life, but this is my prayer to God. And so realizing that like my relationships aren't just those, it's every day growing, and all the people that I've met through the restaurant industry and like working in that, like that has been so much more meaningful. I mean, those people are still in our lives, but there are so many more people in our lives that God is calling us to talk to, and God is still calling us to talk to those old friends as well, but it turned out differently than I would have imagined.
Yeah, that can be really hard when like what you were describing sounds very much like a little taste of new creation.
Okay.
You know, like we're going to spend time together where there aren't barriers to relationships. We really find out we are a family and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And that's a hard thing when that changes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How have how is processing the relationships and decisions of those friends and kind of their shift in perspective impacted the way that you interact with other people around faith? Mm-hmm. Like, has it helped you think more deeply in a certain area? Has it merely, like what you were saying earlier, confirmed what you already believe? Or has it shifted anything for you guys?
I mean, for me, I think it's made me think deeper about why I believe the things I do.
Mm.
And knowing that I didn't always feel confident to speak about them because I didn't feel smart enough. I didn't know how to defend it very well. And that's something that I've been trying to work on the last couple of years is, like, I'm still very nervous about someone asking me a question that I don't know the answer to.
Hey, even, me too.
Yeah. I mean, even with having kids, that's been the most humbling thing about having kids is, man, they ask you the most amazing questions. And then you say, oh, man, I don't know. And I don't, you know, at night, like my oldest son, he's so wonderful, but he'll come down at 10:30 at night when we're done. And he's like, hey, Mom, how do I know that I really believe in God and that I'm just not doing it so that I feel better about myself?
Like, good question.
Oh, wow. Yeah, bud, that's really great. I wish there was someone else here that could answer that question, you know? But then we have to sit there and talk through it and be like, yeah, you know what? Doubting, it's going to be something you have all your life. And how are, you know, what are you going to do about it? Let's pray about it. And praying with our kids has been, we didn't always do it when they were little. We just weren't used to it. And now that they've grown up a little bit, I'm like, oh, this is how we're going to, like, be able to communicate with them when we don't know what to do next, or when we've messed up, or like when things are happening around us that really confuse us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, well, actually over the last when everything happened in March, we started homeschooling our kids, which is something I always admired and thought was really beautiful, but I never thought I could do. And now, I guess it did cause me to be brave. Like, and now we are, like, buy me a denim skirt and a braid.
All in, yeah.
Yeah, because and so, man, every day I get to pray with my kids. I never thought I would say that. And every day I make someone cry. It's really fun. But, yeah, just the things that God has changed in our family over the last 2 years took
some cataclysmic circumstances.
Took, and saying yes and saying, sure, God, what you want. You want me to be steadfast, and I'm gonna try my very best.
Yeah. So I guess since you're doing that, you've transitioned out of work. What was that?
Yes.
What was that transition like for you?
It was so scary.
Yeah.
But also good. It was always something I wondered. It was always something I felt bad about. And everybody's situation is so different.
Yeah, totally, totally.
But it was always something. Man, I wish I could stay with my kids, but we don't have the money. And how would that look like? And what if I'm not patient enough? And yeah. And then here comes the great pandemic. And oh my goodness, I'm obviously it's been hard for so many people and it's been really hard for our family. We've had to learn how to spend our money differently. We've had to learn how to spend our time differently. And we've had to learn how to be with each other more.
Mm-hmm.
But oh my gosh, I get to eat dinner with my kids.
Yeah.
It's so good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So over the last 2 to 3 years, you've been like on this journey of figuring out like, how do I know what I know, et cetera.
Yep.
What has been helpful for you in that?
The first thing for me has been actually reading my real Bible.
Oh, wow.
And I always thought like, oh, well, I don't need to read my Bible. Jesus is my guy. And like, I don't have to prove to anyone by like getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and lighting a candle and reading my Bible. But actually, and it's not at 5 o'clock in the morning, but trying my best over the last year, and I'm not perfect at it, but before I look at my phone and before I check my email, even if it's at 9:30, I read one chapter in my Bible. Like, that's sweet. Sure, sometimes I'm like, oh, that's interesting, I'll keep reading. Or like, I'll read my Bible and then read a devotional or whatever. But making sure that that's like something that's really important to me. And I want my kids to see me do it. And I want them to know, like, hey, mom will make us breakfast after she reads one chapter of the Bible. It's not too much to ask. And it's hard when my kids were little. Like, it just felt like too much. I can't. Like, everyone needs you all the time, and they're walking around in poop, and like,
yeah, totally.
You know, they have
also,
to have
breakfast. You also have to have this perfect, ideal devotional life.
Right,
you
know. It doesn't have to be. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You need the Greek text open. Yep. Yeah, all that. So.
And also, a while back, Imprint gave us these little kids' science devotionals by like Louis Giglio or something. And they are
so predates me.
Good.
So
predates me.
They're so good. But he made two of them, and we read one devotional every day with the kids. And at first they were like, this is annoying, mom, why are you doing this, you're just trying to, you know, bother us. And now they love it every single time. They're like, wait, what was it? And they're just so good. So I guess, and that gave us a routine in it too, like,
yeah,
I don't want to be like that mom who's always like Bible studying with my kids, but also doing something short every day and then picking one. Does anyone want to pray? And now, like, listening to my 5-year-old pray out loud.
Sweet. Oh my gosh, it's, that's awesome.
Like, life changing. Yep. Yeah. And then also me just learning more confidence in a little bit of apologetics and reading books that are more in line with Jesus and the gospel has been great for me. Mama Bear Apologetics.
I've heard good things.
Is a good book.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has really good discussion questions at the end of each chapter where you can talk, like, here's how you would talk about this subject with your little kids. Here's how you could talk about it with your teenagers. And then I read another gospel by Elisa Childers, and I loved that book. That was so good. It was a good audible book.
But, oh, sweet.
Yeah.
How has, I know you talked about, you know, you guys had this community that was so tight and all that kind of stuff. Since then, and in the past, you know, let's even just say in the past two years or so that this weirdness has been going on, how's the community of Jesus helped you follow Jesus better? How's the church helped you follow Jesus better?
I know that this is the right answer to say, so I want to say something different, but my answer is our small group has been so great.
We did not pay her to say that.
I know, you didn't. Yeah. We had tried a couple small groups at Imprint years back, and they didn't work out. And I guess if anyone has tried a small group that didn't work out, I would say try again.
Okay.
Because our small group is so great, and they've been so strong. And it's just been great to go through all of this craziness and still be able to come on Thursday nights and like see people that you know and that you love and are going to encourage you. And that will encourage you to trust in the Lord still and not to give up. And that's been really great for our family. And they love our kids. And they're great.
When did you guys join that group?
I don't know. 4 years ago?
Okay.
Three years ago?
So you had some foundation prior to pandemic stuff.
So cool. it wasn't just during the pandemic. We were in their small group before. But
awesome.
Yeah.
How did you guys transition initially? During that March of 2020, and nobody knows what's going on, because I know eventually you moved in when you had the opportunity to start meeting at Imprint Woodinville, which was really cool. But prior to that, what did you guys do to stay connected?
Well, me and one other gal have kids the same age, and we were both homeschooling as well, and so we just lived our lives together. Like we were kind of like our own little pod of like, and we had one other mom who doesn't go to church, but it was trunk dates. And like, we would sit in our trunk in the school parking lot, 6 feet away from each other, and like just chat and, just knowing like if you needed anything, anyone in our small group would be there. Like they're the people who would bring wood for your kitchen floor or show up on Valentine's Day with Valentine's for your kids or, just always there. And I honestly can't remember what we did organized before we met in the annex, but it must have been great.
Stupendous.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
How have your relationships in your small group helped reinforce your faith? I know like there's a lot there, or even just relationships in the church. I know there's a lot of practical needs that are met in a small group or in a generosity group. But how has being part of a group helped you, you know, stay faithful to Jesus or encourage you to love Jesus more?
It's been nice to be able to say it out loud.
Huh, yeah.
'Cause on Sundays, we're listening, usually. I mean, we're singing out loud, but usually you're listening and absorbing. And then in my life at home, like, I read my Bible to myself. Mm-hmm. Like, and sure, I'm teaching my kids and talking about Jesus out loud, but it's different when you're around other people. It feels like a lot of times in my life, outside of the walls of my home or the walls of my church, I do a lot of saying, like listening to people's opinions or their ideas and not wanting to be contrary, also wanting to listen well.
Yeah.
And I usually just find myself saying, okay. But being able to be in our small group and read through our Bible study and answer the question out loud, even if you're wrong, or even if you say, like, I don't know the answer, I couldn't figure this question out.
It's a safe place to, like, throw a dart at the board. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be able to say, like, oh, Jesus is everything, and say it out loud and practice saying it out loud and practice talking about your faith out loud. 'Cause we do talk about it out in the world, but it's just not quite as often. And it's nice to be able to practice that, I guess.
Yeah.
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 You mentioned earlier, like, when you were going to school in the area, was it Northwest?
Yes, we did go to Northwest,
Cool. That, like, there was this the preparation for ministry, and, like, there's clearly a path of both vocational and lay ministry.
Yeah.
If you look back over your history since then, like, what are the areas of ministry God has made you for and equipped you for?
Yeah. I would definitely say parenting. Mm. And I would definitely say in our jobs. It wasn't something that I ever expected, but watching my husband and how people depend on him and how they call him to pray for them. Mm. Or when something goes wrong in their lives, he's like the first one that they want to tell or talk to, or that they come to for help. Something as simple as, like, oh, my car broke down and don't know what to do. Or, like, hey, my wife is leaving me and I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Like, where do I go? That kind of stuff. And then working in restaurants, like, oh my gosh, if you want to meet a really broken group of people, walk into the restaurant behind the bar and just, but it's beautiful because they're also the most friendly and fun people you'll ever be around. Mm-hmm. So, and being able to be a witness in some place like that, where people are so friendly and loving to you, even if you think something that they just completely disagree with.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you're, like, using a gift of shepherding in the restaurant and at work.
Yeah. Well, and it's just another place where you can say, like, oh, this is, everybody knows Veronica is going to go to church every other Sunday, you know?
Yeah.
So, oh, why is Veronica here? Well, she's
a church. Well, she's a church.
Yeah.
So when you guys were kind of in the lab, as you maybe like at Northwest, when you guys were meeting and talking about, this is what we want to do, we want to do this, did you have, like, purely vocational ministry in mind then, or was it just kind of a holistic thing?
We thought about it, and then when our church that we were a part of didn't exist anymore, we had to take some time to evaluate, do we want to keep working in church?
Yeah.
And we kind of decided no. Mm-hmm. We also were at a place where we're saying, like, is it really okay for people to get paid for this? Mm-hmm. Or are we, maybe not for people, any church that could afford to really pay us felt like a church that we didn't really want to be a part of.
Or
maybe just the ones that we knew of or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the churches that we wanted to be a part of, there either wasn't a place for us or there was no way to make it into a job that we wanted to do. And then we just decided, hey, you know what? I think we're ready to do something else.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that God is not going to use us and that.
Yeah, for sure.
But then we were like, you know, it just isn't going to be the path that he's got for us. Yeah.
Was it an easy jump for you guys? Were you prepared? Did you have kind of like the structure to be able to make that jump and still think of what you were doing as an outlet for ministry, or did that take some work?
It just took some time, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it took us some time to realize, hey, we are still...
We're having some kind of an effect. Yeah. Like, we're yeah. still being...
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
yeah. Yeah. Those conversations are still happening, and our life is... Sure, maybe it doesn't look like how we thought it would look, but it's still really meaningful, and God's using
yeah.
us.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's not, you know, you mentioned you on a retreat. It's mm-hmm. it's sort of another little... inner circle, like a separate one, yeah. a different kind of one, but you've been invited back in, and yeah. that's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be able to build trust like that, and
yeah.
as Tom said, like, use a gift of shepherding, mm-hmm. but in yeah, a completely different context.
That's the picture that we get. We're not so, I guess, scheduled mm-hmm. and leveraged in the church community that we're no longer effective in our spheres of influence. The picture we have of a faithful community is one that's actually a blessing to their
yeah.
neighbors.
Mm-hmm. One that gathers and then scatters.
Yeah, yeah. Not cloistered. So that, like, yeah. to me, that's like...
That's where that's it's at.
Awesome.
Yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's one of the hard things about vocational ministry is often your spheres of influence become more and more church-oriented.
Right.
And it takes a considerable amount of effort to make sure that you know your neighbors.
Yeah.
And people probably have an idea of you when they ask, oh, what do you do? And you're like, oh, I'm a pastor. And they're like,
oh my gosh. You want to shut down a conversation in line at a coffee shop in downtown Bothell. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Or, hot tip, grow your hair out long, wear nothing but black, and people won't believe you and they'll want to talk to you.
Or they're like, do you think you're Jesus? What's happening?
I had one time where that happened, and I was like way into a conversation with someone. They said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a pastor. And they were like, oh man, but you're like really nice though.
Oh, yeah. Like,
that's so brutal.
That's mean.
Yeah.
No, well, hey, just real quick, what are a couple things God is teaching you right now?
Yeah. Well, I actually came prepared for this question because that was what Darren asked me to do in his email. He said, pick something that you've been learning recently. Mm-hmm. And so I hate to bring this up because I don't know if it's heretical or something, but
no,
I picked this book in out of my husband's college stuff. I dropped out of school before I graduated, so I never read this one. Okay, good.
It's
Rex says it's a good
book. It's a great book.
Yeah. But it's called The Prodigal God by Timothy Keller. And I think it says from 2008, so it's real old. But,
oh, man.
Well,
dang it.
It's not like one of those books that's like hot, new, and
yeah,
the Christian
That's the year I graduated
books.
High school,
yeah.
so I don't want to talk about it.
But it's great. And Tim Keller talks about just the story of the prodigal son. And this book really shook me a little bit. And I wasn't ready for it.
How so?
Well, he talks about the whole story. But my favorite part is one of the chapters is called the true elder brother.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm the oldest of three. And so he's talking about how in chapter 15 of Luke, it's not just this one parable. It's first the parable of the lost sheep, and then it's mm-hmm. the parable of the lost coin. And is it okay if I read just like a
yeah.
paragraph?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get hit with copyright stuff or anything.
Yeah. So he says, the similarities among the three stories are obvious. In each parable, something is lost. Sheep, coin, and son. In each, the one who loses something gets it back. And each of the narratives ends on a note of festive rejoicing and celebration when the lost one is returned. There is, though, one striking difference between the third parable and the first two.
Mm-hmm.
In the first two, someone goes out and searches diligently for that loss, for that which is lost. The searchers let nothing distract them or stand in their way. By the time we get to the third story, we hear about the plight of the lost son, and we are fully prepared to expect that someone will set out to search for him. No one does. Hmm. It is startling, and Jesus meant it to be so. By placing the three parables so closely together, he is inviting thoughtful listeners to ask, well, who should have gone out and searched for the lost son? And I have a brother and sister who, even though we grew up in the same way, are not, and I know that this isn't just about sibling relationships, but
yeah.
it really hit me. I was like, oh, I think I'm the one who's supposed to go out yeah. and search. Like, it really convicted me. Mm. I think I've gotten just used to the fact that not everyone around me is saved
mm-hmm.
and letting that be okay. And obviously everyone has their own story and their own choice and there's their own timing, but like, not wanting to be quiet around my
yeah.
Siblings and not just shake my head. I want them to know. And that might take a little bit more bravery from me than I was willing to give, because I wasn't really willing to give a lot. I was just willing to say, like, hey, we'll hang out and you can do you and I'll do me. But wanting them to know, and also that I quit praying for them. Mm-hmm. Like, I quit praying for friends of mine who know, but then they've walked away. Like, I don't want to give up on that.
And you don't want to just resign. Like, this is the way things are now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that's what God's been doing in me lately is, I think I might have to step out a little more.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. That's convicting.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Seriously. That's beautiful. So. Thanks for sharing that. I know that's close to the chest, close to the heart.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
You're good. It's fine. What are you excited about right now?
Honestly, I'm excited for the summertime.
Oh yeah.
I just need something. I don't know. This winter has been real cold and dark, and we've been stuck inside a lot. We had the snow, and then right after the snow, our family had the COVID. Mm-hmm. And so we were stuck inside together for a long time.
Dang.
We went to a park and I was like, oh, I forgot that I liked my kids. Like, look at you guys, so laughing and outside. It's lovely.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, hey, thanks for spending an hour talking with us.
Yeah. For having me.
It's cool to see, the way the Lord has kind of had his hand on your life through various things. Again, through moving around like crazy, through moving jobs, moving friend groups, all that kind of stuff.
But yeah.
We're really glad you guys are part of Imprint.
It's great to get to know people more by listening to these. It's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, if you want to share your story with us, feel free to reach out, podcast@imprintchurch.org, and we will keep doing these as long as we keep getting requests.
Yeah,
so
you won't die. I thought I was going to die. Yeah, I didn't die.
We told her so far no one has died recording a podcast. Right?
We don't count that.
Okay,
one
that
time.
One, that doesn't count. That was okay. No, we're just kidding. Seriously, we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining. Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.